The darkness that we hear in our readings today seems utterly appropriate for certainly the darkness that I felt yesterday afternoon when I first heard the stories that were beginning to come out of Paris at that time. I mean, I guess Paris is a city I know fairly well. I've been there many times over the years and spent many months living in there. And just the sense of being so numb, this overwhelming sense of grief just washing over us and looking around and hearing the stories of so many other Australians who felt the same. This darkness, this grief, this sense of incomprehension. How can people do such heinous acts of violence and hatred against another? And yet it's precisely this that our Lord speaks about in the Gospel today. This 13th chapter of the Gospel of Mark is quite unique. It's certainly the longest single discourse, the longest single speech or interaction that Jesus gives anywhere in the Gospel. Mark has carefully framed it in his composition of the Gospel. Chapters 11 and 12 present Jesus confronting the powers and the dysfunction that was present in the temple. And then in chapters 14 and 15, he confronts the dysfunction of humanity in his passion, his suffering, and his death. Also framing it, we heard last week about the offering of the widow, giving all that she had in order to worship the Lord. And then in chapter 14, we again see the offering of this devoted woman as she pours out, in this case, the alabaster jar of ointment, again as an act of service and worship. So they're the framing points of this description that we have. They're sometimes called a little apocalypse, but it's not about primarily the end of the world. I mean, Jesus himself tells us that no one knows the hour when these events will unfold. Only the Father. Not him, not the angels. This sense that it's a sign that we cannot know in the end. So many preachers over the centuries have pointed to various passages in the book of Revelation or in other apocalyptic writing, have been able to pinpoint exactly that moment when Jesus will return. But we don't know. This is not primarily about some apocalyptic event that's going to happen and unfold in the end times. The end times is not the language that is used here. That word eschaton, where we get the word eschatology, is not even present in any part in this 13th chapter. Jesus is speaking more about the events that are going to unfold within a single generation. In this case, it's this group of disciples who look at the temple. You know, country kids, I kind of get that same sense. I remember the first time that I went overseas in my mid-20s and going to Rome for the first time and just seeing the Vatican and just being blown away by how beautiful that building is. And the same thing a few weeks later when I made my way to Paris for Christmas in that time, staying in the 11th arrondissement, the area that was most severely affected by the attacks yesterday. And that sense of just, oh my gosh, this place is so beautiful, this place is so amazing. And you hear this in the voice of these disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, as they say, Master, look at that beautiful building. Look at these massive stones. How amazing is this? And then Jesus says, but the days are coming, I tell you, when not one stone will be left standing on another. And of course, it was only a generation later that all of those events came to pass with the destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman general Titus and his legions as they laid siege to the city. We read in the contemporary Jewish historian Josephus, first his description of the beauty of the temple. He says it's the most astounding building we know that in fact it was the largest temple dedicated to a single God in the whole of the world at that time. And Josephus says that when you approach this building, you might mistake the beauty of this building as this mountain of snow. Because he tells us that where, although there's lots of gold that decorated and covered the facade of the temple, where the gold was not was this beautiful white stone that was so dazzlingly bright that visitors would mistake it as this mountain of snow. So tall, so massive was the temple that it just stood out there for kilometers and kilometers around the city. And this beautiful building was utterly brought to ruin by the power and authority of Rome. But Josephus goes on to describe in the Jewish Wars the depth of the destruction was not so much just at the result of the Roman soldiers. The destruction, the number of Jewish people who died within the city was in fact greater at the hands of fellow Jews because of infighting, because of the failure to actually share the resources that people had. People starved to death and people died in mob violence in the midst of those final dark days before the absolute destruction of the city by the Romans. So that sense of people infighting and shedding of blood because of acts of violence and hatred that grow within our own hearts is the reality that, of course, we confront in such acts of violence. We know that over the centuries, there have been these acts of violence that just are unspeakably evil. And they result not in forgiveness and mercy and healing, but of course, a wound that is left to fester unattended. And when that wound within the human heart continues to grow, and when that wound is able to be sustained, then of course there are these reactions and responses in acts of continuing violence. We need to pray for healing in our world. We need to pray against all of those situations in the past that have brought such hatred and violence to the surface. We need to pray that we might also be bearers of mercy, that we might experience this forgiveness in our own lives, that we might be able to embody and to model into the world what it is to live as people of forgiveness and mercy. People who have been wounded and offended by the actions and the words of others. Perhaps that whole sense of knowing that we've done the same. We've often spoken unwisely or spoken too quickly or spoken with hatred and malice rather than with love. And we've wounded others. Let's indeed repent of all of those things that we have done and said that have been acts of ignorance rather than acts of knowledge and truth. Whenever we haven't spoken out of charity, whenever we haven't spoken out of a deep and abiding sense of our own being called into love by the Lord, let's acknowledge that failure within our own lives. Let's really pray that we might be able to experience mercy and pray that others also, particularly, of course, at this time, the people of Paris might be able to experience this mercy and forgiveness, that they might remember their deep and abiding Catholic roots and be able to remember this call to forgive those who have done these terrible things against them, so that these events might not provoke more violence and more hatred and more revenge, but might be a sign into the world that no, we can be different. We can act with love and respond with the knowledge and power that God will come to set these things right. The Son of Man will return with power and glory because he as the Messiah will come to set all things right. He will come to destroy injustice. He will come to override any abiding violence and hatred as the Prince of Peace, as the Lamb who was slain, in order to remind us that there is a different way. There is a way that does not lead to further violence, but a way that leads to a true and lasting peace. It has to begin with us. It has to begin as we join in solidarity with all those around the world who have suffered such terrible acts of violence and pray for forgiveness to be experienced in their lives. Pray that mercy might be the one thing that remains out of these events. Pray that we might be able to experience that same forgiveness that they hopefully will also experience. Let's indeed take time over the week ahead to really pray, to rest in the presence of God, to intercede for the world, to pray, pouring out our hearts, pouring out our lives for mercy and for peace to be the experience of the world. Let's not allow violence and revenge to win. Let's be people who so embody peace, who so embody forgiveness, that we become a shining light in the midst of the world, of the power of mercy to speak into our world.